So today, we're just going to have an impromptu conversation about constraint plays in your offense. So, like, I just called Coach up, like, literally out of the blue. I cannot express to you guys how much I just called him up out of the blue. And I just wanted to hear his thoughts on, like, so if power is your top play, what's the best, like, what things do you do to build a constraint off of them? A play that, like, say they do something, because last episode we talked about stop calls for power. What are some things that can be done when you know the defense is loading up on something and, like, you need what I call a constraint play or, like, a counter or something like that? It's like, what are your favorite counter plays? Like, how do you formulate your system, Coach? Like, how do you formulate your system of calling plays? Because you have play call experience.
Yeah, I do. And so one thing, hold on. Since this was a very random, I'm very unprepared.
I just wanted to call you up and talk some ball. It's, this corona's got everybody all up in a hoofy.
So. Some things in my ear. And if it's a lot of noise in the background, I do apologize. Like I say, it was a completely...
Oh yeah, and we can be completely unprofessional. I am driving to go pick up something from Best Buy at the moment, so I figured I'd call Coach up and talk some ball with him.
But so a few things that I like to do off power. First off, it was a kind of a, I guess you can call it a pop pass of some sort, but I still made it look exactly like it was power, so we still pulled the same guy. Everything. The only person that knew anything different was the quarterback, the tight end. I always did it from a tight end attached set, where, you know, the tight end was on the line, so we ran power either to him. We ran power to him. And technically, you know, most people bring their sound back and either play them outside leverage on him, or, you know, they may, I guess you can call it a normal base defense, you know, where you have the three backers, Mike Willis, Sam, kind of, you know, lined up playing the gaps or whatever, and we're just reading that guy. And it actually worked one time in the inside the final. We're struggling. If you ever heard me talk about it, we struggled a lot in the red zone. So one day we were just like, forget it, we're going to try. And we lined up in the red zone. We went and run power, and we worked on it all week, and surprisingly, everybody saw the guard pull. Everybody thought power. Everybody hauled. That Sam Becker came streaming, and we put it right over top of him, and we scored. So that was one thing that we did. It was running power.
So let's expound on that one. These are questions I'm asking, just straight up, just wanting to basically interviewing you. So when you did that, what was, like, the tight end steps? Did he just run vertically up the field, or did he, like, fake, like, down block or out block?
The way I coached was, he comes to the line, all right, and we ran one back power 90% of the time of the year.
Yeah.
It was late when I got into, you know, the normal two back power, whatever. So whenever he was in and we were running one back power, he was always responsible for the end man line of scrimmage. That was his job. So what he did was, snapping the ball, I literally told him, and, you know, a lot of people do it different ways, but I say, in your head, 1-1,000, 2-1,000, release and go.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have to also understand that you're also reading the Sam. You know, you're reading that guy that's over top of you. If he's inside leverage of you, then obviously you got to get where. You can't run inside if he's lined up inside of you. I mean, you're defeating the purpose. So, you have to get outside, kind of outside fade leverage type a little bit. But get back to just his steps. He's going to take his normal steps like any other lineman would. You know, like he's down blocking, kicking out that DN or Sam, whoever's walked outside of him, 1,000, 2,000 go. And by that time, by that 2-1,000, the quarterback is, you know, he has his eyes on him. We got enough time to, you know, for a mesh. So if he did want to run it, you know, if he felt, you know, that he should give the ball, he can give it, you know, and hand it for a runner if he wanted to pull it and throw it. And
so this was out of the gun. This was out of the gun, not under center where he had to
reverse. No.
Read makes a lot more sense. So basically you made it like an RPO, like a pop.
Pretty much. And I tell anybody, you know, at one point I literally was terrified. And I'm not as terrified as I was, but when I first started this, man, I was terrified of RPO. You know it. I tell anybody. It's just, I had great people around me, but I couldn't convey my ideas, and I couldn't be everywhere every time, so it was kind of, you know, difficult in that way. But it was the first RPO that we kind of ran when I was like, well, I loved it. And then a little later, and I got film on. I think we did it a lot in our last two games. I just have to go look for it. But we did so we would go two by two, tight end attached to the right. I would send my – I call him the H guy, the slot guy. Send him in motion and have the motion fade to get everybody – because, you know, I love motion. I love motion to people.
Yeah.
Get everybody moving, get everybody looking some opposite direction or something, or, you know, get high school backers to do something completely different than they were supposed to, and then still run the same, you know, pop action off of it with them.
Okay. I like that window dressing.
You know, so that was kind of something that we played around with a lot, and I liked it. You know, I was a big fan of it.
And anybody else's, does the offensive line change any?
No.
Like, is it, it's just they're going to run – they're running their one back power stuff, guard wrap, down wrap, and, you know.
You know me, I think it's possible.
Front side cave, backside B guy to the backside back.
Yep. I want to keep. I remember one day my right tackle was like, but coach, if y'all throwing it, I said, don't worry about that. You don't worry about it. You don't, you know, that's not your responsibility. If you get caught downfield, I'm probably screaming at somebody else. You know, it don't stress about it. You know, I try to keep everything simple for those five guys as simple, well,
I think a good way to – another thing about that is you were talking about getting those illegal linemen downfield. Is as an offensive guy, I think you should stretch it as much as possible. Like that – whether they'll call it or whatever, because some guys won't call it
at all,
and it's super annoying. But what I was going to say is I think that's a good key of – how patient are your guys being when they're working up to that backside backer and whatnot? Because if they let the backer come to him, which he should, because he's got to scrape over,
then you shouldn't have to worry about him.
It should come to you. Yeah. Just like I see a lot with like the wide zone or like the inside zone, the tight zone, wide zone stuff where, you know, they're throwing the RPO on the backside and people always ask them, well, how do you stop getting that call? And they're like, you know, you got to make the backers come to you on the double teams. They should come. They have to, you know, we have to, as a defensive guy, we have to come down the field or downhill and actually make the tackle, because if we don't get near the ball, we're not going to make a tackle anyway. Hand the thing off, and we're going to have issues. So I like that. I like that coaching point and told them not to worry too much about it, things of that nature. Do you have any other, like constraint plays?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe one, like, so under, one of them, under center?
Under center, not really. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll probably get shot down for this one. I'm not a big fan for under center. If you know, I did it, but if I'm going on center, I'd rather just go pistol. I've never liked going on the center. I feel like it's a lot that can go wrong, but it's a lot that can go wrong in a shotgun. No, it's just one of them. I would, unless I truly, truly had to, you know.
Well, since I've known you, that's who you are. You're a one back shotgun power guy.
And like I said, you know, if I want to do anything like that, if I want to move them up or try to – I never try to sneak a quarterback from pistol. That's a long way to go, but, you know, quarterback sneaks also another – not one of my cup of teas. But anyway, we will. But another constraint play, obviously, you know, is counter. And I think we were talking about it one day.
In your mind, why is counter – such a great counter for power?
That's a great question, my man. Because, you know, most of the time, most people see, and I'm just taking it as a playing lineman, most people see that lineman pulling, so they think what? You know, they think, oh, he's coming out for power, but now, you know, now you got that front side D, and now we're kicking him out instead of we're wrapping. And, you know, if you can – I always say, you know me, if I can get people's eyes in the wrong direction for a split second, you know, I feel that I can, you know, I can succeed off that. You know,
do you get them in the wrong? Do you get them in the wrong direction by using the back movement, like in the backfield?
Yes, it's all, and that's the difference between, you know, that's power my difference. Counter. Yeah, power and counter is the back's movement, completely different.
Will you call that? I'm sorry, I keep
no, going. No,
Will you call that more or less? Okay, this is. I'm gonna figure out how I'm gonna preface this question. So if you get a defense that's reading the guards, will you call counter just as much, or does that kind of come off the table because they're reading the guard so much? Vice versa, as if they're reading just the back, so, does the counter work a lot more effectively?
So, in my opinion, if you're reading the back, I feel it's better, it's easier for me because most people, let's say we're on the same side counter, okay?
Yep.
I fell in love with that this year. Most people see that back coming across and they're thinking, oh boy, we got some kind of wide zone action, or is he coming out for inside zone? Nope, he puts his foot in dirt and now he has a block and now we're, you know, I got my numbers, now I'm getting a feel. You know?
Yeah.
But if a person is reading a guard, okay, this is my wild world of thinking, which could be right, could be wrong, however it's worked for me, is I'm not going to call counter, and you know I call this counter trade, where I'm not pulling the guard in the tackle. So now if you're reading that guard, okay, so the guard is kicking out front side, right? So mm-hmm. if that back is flowing, he just ran into who? You know, in a perfect world, the guard that is front side, who has backside, you know, B got the backside rules, him and that tackle or whatever.
Yep.
All right, so now you just ran to him. All right, so now, the backer, you know, the front side backer is like, well, maybe I got a free shot. I see a hole. I go, nope, you got a tackle who's not coming. And now he is inserting inside and, you know, in a perfect, perfect world, it's blocked up perfect, you know. But we don't live in a perfect world and we never play in a perfect world. So it's like it's a lot that can really go wrong on that play, you know. But I feel, I actually call counter trade where I pull the guard and the tackle more than I did counter. And that's just because of the personnel I went out of. I feel, in my opinion, if you go one back counter, in theory, there's a guy unblocked, right?
Are you saying same side or going across?
Same side. If you go one back counter, the guard kicks out the DN, the front side tackle, and my rule has B got the backside, right? But then now I have a guy unblocked. So now I'm telling my tackle, okay, well, on this play, you don't have B got the backside, you have front side, you know, B got the front side. But if I run counter trade, it's not, now you have B at the backside. I just feel like I'm teaching
people. I see what you're saying. You're not swinging the backside guy to pull for the – come on over, lady. Come on, Chrysler. There we go.
This is perfect. I love it.
So, he just bought it, too, so I know he don't know what he's doing with it. I'm almost at Best Buy now, but, oh, they're pulling into Best Buy. Got me. Oh, we're going to wait for him. All right. So,
I'm glad you're driving, not me.
Brother. So I'm going to talk to this guy real quick. So on counter trade, you're not pulling somebody for that backside tackle? Yes, sir. Gotcha. Thank you, brother. So are you're saying the unblocked guy is the front side backer?
And one back counter, yes.
You wouldn't pull the tackle, the backside tackle in that situation?
That's what I said. So that's why if I'm running one back principles, you know, if that's what I'm sticking to, I'm running counter trade with the tackle pulling. So now I have numbers across the board. The quarterback will be responsible for that backside DN. Huh. If we're going one back, if I'm one back principle type person, which I really am, I'm going to run counter trade because I'm going to pull the – my puller is going to be this, and I'm just saying the guard is going to kick out that front side DN, and the tackle is going to wrap around from the front side Mike. Okay, so now the front side guard and the front side tackle has B gap the backside rules. They're responsible for A to B the backside linebacker. So now I'm blocked up perfect. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's cool.
But if I'm in,
I was making sure. Do you call it that, or are you just calling it? You're calling it counter trade. You're not just calling it counter. And
I got
there's nobody there, so he's like,
and I know me and you have a lot of conversation about verbiage, but yes,
ooh, he's yelling at him.
One is counter, the other one's counter trade. That's just the nature. That's just the way I do it.
I got you.
But I think we all know.
Oh, you're good. Thank you, brother. You as well.
if we were going,
I didn't even ask for
if we were going two back, then obviously it's a lot different, you know. If you went two back, you
I
got
think it. You could RPO it. I think there's a lot of things you could do it. And the thing I would say when you brought it up and said that, I was thinking the backside DN was the untouched man, but if you really put it in your mind, we've watched Oklahoma for the past 2 years, and they don't ever block the backside DN. They very rarely have issues, and they turn into a staple play.
The other ones are just your normal ones that I have personally not yet dabbled in, because of, as I've said before, the fear of, you know, I'm old school in my head sometimes, but you know. Lined up in 2x2, you know, being able to run slants off the overhang guy, overhang defender. One thing, and it didn't shock me, but I really, really want to try to do is be able to run power with the jet motion, but be able to use the quarterback to now, instead of him running, you know, trip blocks, and now we're throwing like a bubble or something off of it.
So, like, back away?
Yeah. Mhm. Mhm. So you know he motions and he's reading. You know, if are they flying? Are they rocking and rolling? Are they bumping? Okay. What are they doing? You know, being able to take it if he wants to throw it.
So say. Say the defense is completely shutting down your power play, right? All right, and they're choking the tight end. And what I mean by choking the tight end is they're putting a guy on the inside, on the inside of the tight end, and they're running what most people would consider like a bear type of front, where it's like 0-3-3, and then like a 6-eye who's really a back or like a stand up 6-eye, and then like a 9-tech.
He got inside outside,
I'm assuming we're running weak, but I brought up this specific situation. Because you can't go to the power pass, the power pop thing. So right. I'm assuming we're going to go weak, obviously. Is there anything – or what are you going to call other than counter that whole week? What are you going to call?
Other than counter? So now can I ask you, who am I playing with? You know, am I having just a – is he a Thor? And the reason I say that, because my number one – like when I line up or I'm watching film and I see a team is giving me a – well, you know, we just say a bare fun. Or, you know, they're literally – daring me to throw the football, and you know, I just don't.
They're going 3-0-3 and they're putting the guy over top the tight end to where he can't pop out, they're going to be in a one high structure, they're going to be rotated to your tight end. You know, there's going to be, you know, it's a daring, it's probably going to be man or cover three on the outsides, basically man with how far your splits are going to be, things of that nature. Like, what kind of plays are you going to run?
So the first thing that comes to my head, and I'm harping all week, is we got to be able to run speed option away from the tight end.
Okay.
We got to. Because there, you know, there's more people. I can't pull a guy because somebody's going to be unblocked. You know, I don't have the leverage. I don't have the numbers that I had. I'm not going to lie to you. It'll probably be a lot of inside zone stuff.
Weak or?
Whereas, okay. Yep, trying to go weak because I don't want to go to the tight end because, like you say, you know, they're choking him. You know, there's a guy outside of there.
Man, should be seven people over there at that point.
I don't really like the angles, and I'm running into just a bunch of people that are trying to tackle me. You know, so obviously I want to go away from them.
Okay.
You know, and then also, I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm my best receiver, I don't care who it is, I want you to go weak also. And the reason I do is so let's say I'm running inside zone or something like that, and this goes to RPO stuff. If he's pressed, you gotta get inside and win. If he's off, I'm trying to throw slants. I'm trying to throw fade. I'm trying to throw something quick off the run just to keep, you know, people honest. You know what I mean? I don't want you to just load the box and be like, okay, he's going to throw it. No, I want to keep you honest. I still want to be able to. Even if I don't, I want to be able to show it. You know, I want to do a bunch of things to probably get to the perimeter, but get to the perimeter on the weak side. If that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense.
There was one more thing. One more. I don't think I did it. No, I didn't get a chance to do it this year. Was going orbit motion, so going, tight end attached or whatever, or going out of trips. Trips, and I'm just saying in my head, I always call trips right. Just go trips right, orbit the number two guy, which would be my H guy, and run some kind of triple option off of the backside. So maybe it's a speed option pitch off the triple option or speed option bubble, something. Yeah. I want to force you to have to, cover everybody and, game of what am I going to do? I'm offense, I have the ability, I can throw it, run it, I can do what I want to, But, that's just.
I loved it. I was thinking, I got in the car and I was thinking about order some stuff so they stop power, they stop whatever your constraint is. I think the best offenses that I've seen and that I've read about and I've done research on are offenses. Yeah, a lot of them you'll see in like the old Wing T playbooks and stuff. They're series based. So like this was big when we played Apopka. Like if they would give you, there's like four plays that would all look very similar or they were all paired off of each other. So they were, they weren't packaged necessarily, but they were a package. Like they were four, there was like a series. So if you stop
this situation,
So if you stop this, you were going to get this. If you overloaded to stop this, you were going to get you're going to get that. You're going to get this, that, whatever. And I was just wondering, to hear your thoughts.
Did you play them?
Yeah, we played them.
Your state year? Okay,
Yeah, we played. We played them. That was one of our. That was the game that I'd say. So that game we really solidified. Like in my mind, I thought that we could. We could be really good because our offense in that game scored like four or five touchdowns in the first half and then didn't score any in the second half. So they didn't play well. And defensively, we didn't allow anything. We got lucky. We'd had 2 weeks to prepare for the single wing, really help defend them to understand what they're doing. And we got a really great really great look from our offense and from our scout team, our service teams. And they really put us in a good position. We only allowed one score, and it was on a pop pass. It was on a pop pass in the first quarter. I think it was like the second drive. And then that was the only time they scored. We ended up winning the game like 35-7. And Apopka had never lost to a team from our county. And, everybody loved this was the first year after Darlington. Darlington just left. But they were running the same – or was the this – offense. Was this – I think this was Darlington's last year. I'm sorry. It was Darlington's last year. And they were running the same stuff. They were running that single wing stuff. And I was just thinking about how they had series. They would just like I said about the pop pass, they would go, hey, you want to overload to this? All right, we're going to – the guy on the backside is eligible. We're going to pop pass him real quick and just lulling you to sleep. But having – I think the biggest key was just like you said and you kept enumerating that you have a main philosophy, a main concept that you run. Like that's your bread and butter, and you built your offense off of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt like that was the overarching feature of what you're saying with having constraint plays. Like I was just going through my head, you can't have constraint plays without having the first play that works, and having that bread and butter, you're just doing 100 things at that point. And I actually expected you to say counter. So I really loved that your first one was a power pop pass, and I was like, "Oh, you got my ass!" No, I was
counter's like my third go to.
You'd have got me on second seven because we just stopped power on the first play, and then the second play I was like, "Counter's coming, boys! Counter's coming! Weak side blitz their ass!" And then you just pop pass my Sam
pop right over top,
right there on my star, yeah. Right there on my stars, right?
But no, that,
my
that,
two high safeties that, and get 10 yards, and I'm fuming because I got like, because that's not even on my kids, that's
wrong.
On me,
you're know. That's because like, then, guess what? Play three, 9 out of 10, what's probably coming.
And it's gonna be power, that's the thing. And I'm gonna be sitting there going, shit, I'm probably honestly going to be like, hey, are they going to do it again? Let's see if they do it again. Bring a frontside blitz. You know, bring something off the edge. Like we talked about in the stop calls that we talked about last episode. I was like, bring something on the edge. That was funny you said that. I was laughing over here. I was like, man, he got me. Because I just knew he was going to say counter. And I was like, oh, we're going to be good. We're going to stop him for a yard on first down on a power. He's going to run counter on the second down. And we're going to shut it down with a weak side blitz. And then we get to bring the dogs.
And
just
step past yeah. and then punt.
Nah, we get to bring the dogs. We get to bring in the double A pressure package, all that crap. And he goes, power pass that, on second down. And I was like, damn it.
So remember first down, that goes back to what we talked about a while back is, you know, you got to start with something, then build around it. Don't just be throwing a bunch of plays in because they look cool or you seen somebody else run them.
I really hope we can continue to be a really good resource for young coaches because this is a lot of stuff that I didn't know a couple years back. You felt the same way I felt, you know, in a lot of senses. You look at these things, all these guys are doing all this stuff. You get overwhelmed. You're like, man, this works, all this works. In reality, you just need to find, you know, usually it comes from your mentor, but exactly what works for you. What is your philosophy? Who are you? Who are you schematically? And usually I think that's built off who are you fundamentally and, you know, philosophy wise. Can get the word there for a second. And all those things kind of culminate together because I think scheme and strategy and culture really all to me go hand in hand. They're not separated. I thought it was a very interesting topic, so I decided to call you up and I said, "Hey, what a better way just to put it on the podcast and of us just talking while I drink my Chick-fil-A Diet Coke."
Diet Coke.
That's all I got for you, Coach. I'm getting close to the house. I'm a pull in here. We're gonna sign off here real quick. If you didn't know already, I'm Coach Kaysen. On the other side, answers all my questions. It allows me to call whenever I want to. It's Coach Stockley. Guys, we got the coverage clinic or our coverage 201. Not coverage clinic. Coverage 201. The next episode should be coming out very soon. Episode 3. We'll be talking about field dimensions, landmarks, and really just like it's like the last actual episode that we'll need before we can really get into the coverage is what people are there for. On top of that, we got the come here on the podcast, like and subscribe us, review us, get in contact, interact with us. We really want people to interact with us. I've got reached out by a couple of young coaches, and that is just, you guys, you understand, that's like the coolest thing ever. Like, you don't even, like, because I just remember being in that spot, guy, yeah. And every time somebody would help me out, it felt like it was nerve-wracking at times to go ask for somebody's help of a lot of old, even, like, obviously, I'm not the most grizzled veteran, but older guys to ask
you're always,
for help.
You're always afraid of them telling you no, or, you know.
Yeah,
just,
there's always that.
You don't want to be that guy.
You never know how people are going to be, so. And dude, I cannot express to you. I don't know anything about football that somebody hasn't. I haven't learned from somewhere. I have learned everything from somewhere. I've not created one single thing in football. I put together some drills that I felt helped us. Outside of that, you know, I haven't come up with one single concept in the game of football. You know, I owe this game so much more than this game owes me. And I just want to make sure that was the whole thesis of this podcast. And me and Coach can put that energy back in and help out younger coaches like us and other coaches. So just interact with us. You can go on Twitter, find me at First Gen Coach. I got a website there where I post a ton of blogs where I study football and just go, you know, football 101 basically and ins and outs of it. You can follow Coach on Twitter at Coach W Stocks, STOCK. Awesome guy.
Man, I'm glad you know that, man.
Yeah, that's my job. I kind of felt like I was assigned that duty. and that is all I got. Coach, you got anything you want to go on your soapbox?
Yeah, hey,
apparently
I'm just
on quick. Soapboxes here.
Just real quick, guys. Hey, y'all stick around and just keep listening. You're gonna get a chance to hear some other people other than just me and him go back
and forth. Yeah, that's where we're headed. We gotta get some more people on this bad boy.
We're gonna get some people talking so you can – I know you're probably tired of hearing our voices or tired of hearing what we're talking about. You get to hear some other people talking and we're gonna be listening and taking notes and just learning football from people. So stick around, you know, just keep listening. But I appreciate you guys listening today. This impromptu.
Yeah.
Impromptu, but it was fun. Anything I can do to help, guys, don't hesitate. Don't be that guy. I'm not going to tell you no. If I don't know, I promise you I'm going to ask 100 people until I find an answer.
Yep.
And if you find it before me, let me know the answer, because obviously I don't know.
All right, guys. Y'all stay healthy. Be careful out there. Be safe. Practice social distancing. We will speak to y'all soon.
Peace.
You're listening to the Football Coaches Podcast, built by coaches for coaches.
We're going
to
discuss X's and O's,
team administration,
program building,
wide receiver play,
player relationships,
your go-to resource.
I'm Coach Stockman.
And I'm Coach Kaysen. Let's work together and make us better.